Virtuous Optimus Podcast is a registered trademark of Virtuous Optimus LLC. Music copyright to respective artists. Copyright disclaimer under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976. Allowance is made for a fair use for purposes such as criticism, comment, news, reporting, teaching, scholarship, education, and research. All other material 2017. 2020 by Virtuous Optimus LLC. All rights reserved for personal use only.
You know,
you forgot to tell everyone what tonight's episode is about.
Trying to sell hot to the sun. Sex. You run, but I'm gonna get me some rum and honey. You run, run till your heart gets numb. Oh, I come, I'm hungry. You gone, left us with none but a crumb. Out in the fields with the same. Bad deal, flash deal, get locked in a cage. Well, ain't we brave? Feel my rage. Cross my heart, nothing changed. Well, all I want, no more pain. Baby, cross my heart.
I wrote that song. That song's called Cross My Heart for people who don't know. That's the first song that I released as Son Little. I want to say it's 2015, I think. Maybe it was 2014. I'm not sure. But I wrote that song after, I started writing it right around the time that Trayvon Martin was killed. Take care, Bill. And I just had this beat, you know? No, what's up, y'all? I just had this beat and I really liked it, and I thought it was like, you know, it was gonna be like my like club hit, you know, go figure. But I was sitting in this house in Woodstock, New York, and I was working on something, and I think was then Eric Garner was killed, and this thing just kind of popped out.
That was my party.
That was my party tune. But to think that, A, I find myself marking the time passing by with murders is disheartening, to say the least. Which is, again, why I'm so glad that people are now working so hard fighting injustice. Oh, the headstock, yeah. This is a tailor, an all mahogany tailor. It's quite beautiful. But I remember saying, you know, I've never done interviews before at that point. And I remember doing interviews then in 2015, 5 years ago. Because I had written a song that, you know, I guess, well, the question was, is it a protest song? And not too long after, I fielded a lot of questions about my song, Oh Mother. About it being a protest song or not, and if I thought that it was my responsibility to sing about these things. I struggled a little bit with that question, but I do remember saying that, and this is true, that I wished I hadn't wrote the songs. I guess the better way to put it is I wish I'd never felt compelled to write a song like that. I wish that when I sat down to write that all that came out was flowers and sunshine. It was club bangers. I mean, if I could turn that part of my mind off and write club bangers exclusively, I still wouldn't do it. But I would like to see a world where nobody felt compelled to write a song of protest or felt like they needed to sing at people in order to change people's minds, so that people could have equal protection in our society. And I think it's a shame.
Virtuous Optimist Podcast. I got one of my favorite soul musicians on the podcast. Grammy Award winning singer, songwriter, Grammy Award winning producer, singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, Sun Little. How are you?
Feeling good, feeling
oh
good.
Oh my gosh, yo, like, this is like a milestone for me.
It's a milestone for me too, Chess.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, I've known you how long?
A minute.
It's been a while, you
a
know?
Minute. And that's so crazy, like, you remember, because you know, like, people, you be like, I introduce myself to them, like, they see me, maybe, but you don't really think people, like, actually, like, build connections and pay attention.
Well, you know, people are people. That's what I look at it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the
you
best
thing. Came down
to look
and
at.
Bless us with a video shoot.
Yes.
I mean, that had to be the toast video shoot that had to
be. Yes. 2015. I just 15, got here. I just got here. I got onto your music on Power.
Right.
It was the last song on an episode of Power. It was the long ass one. I always get it mixed up. Your love will blow me away. The long one.
You got what? It. I mean, you get
your love
you
will
get,
blow me.
Get two or three of the words and it's good.
Perfect. Thank you. But yeah, so ever since then, like, I've been hooked. Like, just hooked on your music, your sound. And then for a long time, I didn't even know you was producing everything. Like, it just didn't even come in my mind, but then when I learned that you produced everything, I was like, like, you could play every I guess role on the field, like you could do it all, like, that's amazing.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, that's why I gotta see you do it live. Like, I gotta see the production live. Like, I gotta see it. Please let me be a fly on the wall. But okay.
One day we'll figure that out too. Yeah.
Yeah, I can dig it. I'm patient.
We'll make
though.
A little documentary film.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, that'll be fire. See, look just, at you. Yes.
You know, just trying to.
Yes, yes, I can dig it. So look.
Get those ideas out there.
I agree. So look. So let's get in. Oh, but what, the point that I wanted to make was my very first episode. While I was saying it's a milestone is. The very first episode of Virtuous Optimist Podcast, right. I talked about Johnny Taylor, I talked about Sam Cooke, and Sun Little. Mm. Like, that was, like, my three people that I talked about, like, that I wanted to shine light on for the episode. And so, but I kept making, like, these Sam Cooke, Sun Little references. Have you ever got that?
I mean, I've heard all kinds of things.
Yeah,
you know?
But I never read like Sam Cooke about you. I'd be like, but Sam Cooke. yeah, I can dig that. Yeah. So is that one of your influences?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Just diving in, huh?
Yes. Okay, yeah. Okay. So let's do the icebreaker.
You got a plan. I mean, you know.
Okay, so what her hairdo is tonight's icebreaker segment on Virtuous Optimist Podcast. So what we're going to do is we're going to dedicate this to the sisters in honor of Black History Month. So I'm gonna throw out a hairstyle.
Okay.
Sisters, you know, and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is a curly fro.
A curly fro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why I think it was before you even said it. I thought of Tempest Bledsoe, the actress from the Cosby Show. She was the middle sister.
The middle sister. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I can dig that. Yeah, she did.
That's just what came to mind. You said what came to mind.
Yes,
that's what
I love
it was.
This.
That's what
I love this. All right, long bundles. What about the long bundles? The long, like the long weeds.
Yeah. I saw 80s TV for me. I think 80s, 90s TV.
Yeah?
I was thinking of Jack A, you know.
Okay.
227.
I can dig
which,
it.
This is the second time I thought about 227 today for some reason. 227 is a TV show from the 90s.
Okay, I can dig it.
And it's like old school, but
like modern.
The roots of what you're talking about.
Okay.
Throwback weed.
What about the box braids? Like the thick, like, dookie joints.
That makes me think of like Set It Off and.
Okay. Something I know.
Yeah, sorry. I was going back.
Yes, okay. I can dig that. Yeah. I can dig that. All right. What about the locks? The natural locks.
I mean, Lauryn Hill's kind of like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was amazing. Her locks was. Yeah, I dig her life. Her locks. So what about the cornrows with the baby hair?
The cornrows with the baby hair.
Yeah, like not just the cornrows. They got the baby hair just decked out.
Yeah. I think about that EDM seen Okay, Tweets, that whole thing.
Yes, like yes. Okay.
European cornrows.
Yes, you got the fire one.
Something like that.
You got the fire. Okay, what about the short Halle Berry cut?
Halle Berry, that? I don't know, I just think about
Halle Berry, yeah. All right, what about the long...
You got fed that one to me.
Right, I did, dang.
What?
I gotta stop calling
what
it
else
that.
Could it be? Or Nia Long, you know, see, that's going back
Nia
a little
Long.
Bit.
Yeah, Nia Long too. She rocked it in Friday, yeah. The fade, like the low buzz cut, like a really, really short cut.
What was that girl name? She used to date Kanye and
Oh, Amber Rose.
Yeah.
She ain't a sister, man. We can't big up to her.
Hey, I don't know.
Peace to Amber Rose.
It's just, I'm sorry, you said the same
right,
first
thing. Right. Yeah, okay, yeah.
No, that's the
fair
first,
enough.
I mean, you know.
All right, so
we're naming names, you know.
Yeah. All right, what about colorful hair?
I don't know, that she's just everywhere right now. It's very,
What you been seeing lately?
Yeah, just, I've been seeing bright green, a lot of blue. I've been seeing a lot of blue for a minute.
Okay.
And then there's like the icy purple one.
So what about the long, natural, straight hair? Like, is her real hair and it's just long and straight and natural?
You know what I feel like? It's like that's like a, I feel like every high school picture that I ever see is that, you know?
Yeah,
like I just
you're right.
It, I picture like...
You're right.
Like, every
you're right
every black woman I've ever known
yes
like, but like doing this
with the straight hair yes
like, holding the diploma
right yeah. Holding the diploma
like,
yes
doing one of those
oh shit and yes
like everyone though
that was tonight's segment of God damn it what a hairdo dedicated to my soul sisters
that's good what a hairdo.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
We live on a Tuesday night.
On a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday. Like I said, like I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Like this is everything to me. Everything to me.
Definitely.
You know, when I hear your music, like, I be like, man, like, I just want to be friends with Son Little. Like, I just want to be friends with Son Little.
That's nice.
And you seem, like, super, like, calm and collected, like, all
most
the time.
Most of the time. Not all the time.
Most of the time?
Most of the time.
Okay. No, I saw you get loose on the Hey Rose video.
You know, I did my best.
I was reading your current about page on your website, and that was very informative, a lot about the album and stuff. There was three questions that stood out to me and I wanted to ask you. So when you lost your complete, your hard drive, right? When that happened and you had to just redo it, you know, like start all over from beginning. During that self-exploration, you was asking yourself these three questions. So what am I doing? How did I get here? Who do I really want to be? Did you answer those questions in the album or can you answer those questions right now?
Oh, you know, I mean, you can answer the question of what, you know, what an album is or a piece of work just by, you know, committing to doing it. You know, I think that's what, and I think that's what that is. It's like, however long you're going to spend doing it or how much you need to produce, it's like one way or another, you're going to make it happen and you decide to make it happen. I think, you know, it takes on a life of its own, though. It's like, if you're asking, like, who am I now, you know, later on, 6 months down the road or a year later, you're listening to it, you're not that person anymore, you know?
I know.
So.
Is it less interesting to talk about it?
Less interesting to talk about it than what than to make it.
How you're a different person at one point when you have to go back and talk about it. Do you appreciate that? Do you like? Oh, I don't really want
to. No, I mean there's something to be gained, I think, from
like reflection.
You know, yeah, reflecting and analyzing what you did. Maybe certain things become clearer than they were at the time because you're in the middle of it. You know.
Yeah.
Hard to appreciate everything about where you're at when you're there.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Even though we try.
Yeah.
to appreciate that as much as we can.
Yeah, okay.
Transition. He's the incomparable, fantastic, outspoken member of the crew. He's had a lot of drinks with him. But he's still generally coherent.
The wars of yesteryear, they're here. I slowly trace this trail of tears. Unidentified next of kin. Feels like I'm caving in.
You're really a poet, and I think what catches me in your music is the sound of it, like just the body of it and the, you know, the production of it. But you're a really, like, you're a poet. Like, it, sometimes I don't even know what you're saying. I know a few points, but it sounds so good. If there was no lyrics online, I would not know most of the time what you're saying in your music, but it sounds so good.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
I just figured
maybe my mind just don't
anything I listen to, I think I'm probably getting a lot of the lyrics wrong, or I'm not even really listening to it, which is weird. You know, I'm a little embarrassed to say that because, you know, I talk a lot about lyrics and how important the lyrics are to me and stuff. And like, I want to be taken seriously, like you said.
Right.
Hey, I'm a poet. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I know that. Why doesn't anyone ever talk about that? No, no.
Exactly.
I'm like, y'all don't notice that.
Right.
Are you guys really not? You don't get it, huh?
Right.
Like, all right, yeah. I guess I'm
And I'm just not afraid to say I don't get it.
I guess I'm just some soul guy or something. Whatever.
But you are amazing.
But no, I mean.
But so you fused old school R&B, blues, gospel, rock and roll. Like, I've been hearing some folk sometime. I don't know. Am I tripping?
No, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. And you make it sound so good. The first, the self-titled Sun Little, amazing. Loser Blues. What's your favorite joint on there?
That's one of them. I mean,
Loser Blues.
If I start doing that, then I just end up naming all of them mostly. But,
okay, I could dig that. Yeah. So tell me what.
But that's one of my favorites. You know, I like the really just so simple, it's kind of dumb. You know, like
yeah.
That's kind of the stuff that I go back to the most, where I kind of, you know, anything where sometimes I listen, I'm like, what the hell? What was I thinking? But I like that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
It's like a caveman approach to R&B, basically. You know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, doing the kind of stuff that I do, that there was really, like, no lane to go through at all. You know, in some senses, like, just being able to access people who want to hear something like this is a big deal,
yes,
you know, for me. So I've been thankful for what I have, you know, the people, to reach the people that I did, and you know, just try to keep doing the good work so that people will come back and bring other people with them, you know.
Yeah.
I can see you, babe. See you all around. And I'm bleeding, babe, but I ain't falling down. And I want you, I want you, I want you. No, you can call on me any day. You can call me Sunday, Saturday, today. You ain't gotta go to work. Stay right here and play, or listen to the lightning, thunder and rain. Come on, so exciting, so glad that you came.
When did you find that you had, like, this amazing voice?
You know, I never looked at it that way. I just
no.
I just been singing and trying to, you know, evolving, I guess, as a singer too, learning different things. And yeah, I just kind of faded into it, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's, you're steady learning and steady growing.
I'm always changing. That's the best part about it for me.
I wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind. Yeah. I wish somebody would come and ease my troubling mind.
I wanted to be sure that I talked to you about Sam Cooke because I was like, Sam Cooke.
Wait, what made you think that?
What made me think that your voice made me think Sam Cooke? And that was like early on. Yeah. I forget what two songs that I compare on that episode. I'm gonna have to go back and listen. But it was two songs. It was like a Sam Cooke song. And
yeah. Definitely had, I've had a few different, you know, yeah, more phases and things that you listen to. I definitely had a Sam Cooke phase when I was young, like 12 or so, you know.
Dang, okay.
I'm not sure how that came to be, but I remember getting a hold of this like Sam Cooke tape.
You remember what it was?
I mean, it was just like the best of Sam Cooke.
Okay,
you know,
that'll do it.
It had the same like, it's like yellow background.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely rocked that tape a lot, and I was singing along to it a lot. So it's definitely in there.
So did you go back and like listen to the Soul Steers? That's Sam Cooke?
Definitely not at that time, but
no.
But you know, later on, then like learning about connection there with Chicago and with Mavis after that, you know, and
the Soul Steers,
and them, you know. So.
Oh yeah, they was affiliated.
Well, not directly,
they worked together.
But in the same kind of circles, you know.
Okay, dig.
And then I'm a big Curtis Mayfield fan too. So
okay,
it's like Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, gospel.
Okay.
Turned, you know, bluesy gospel turned R&B.
I haven't did my homework on Curtis Mayfield yet.
Yeah.
But it seemed like I'm missing out.
So Curtis Mayfield and their group was the Impressions. You know, 60s. Into the 70s. And then Curtis Mayfield, a lot of his solo stuff through the 70s. You know, I mean, you know, like, you know, Pusher Man. Right? You know. But, yeah, he's a big influence, too, like, guitar-wise, as much as anything else.
Okay.
Because, I mean, his style, and both of them, because Mavis's dad, you know, Pops is, like, one of the best, you know, guitar players. Yeah. And they have similar sound, you know. I think Curtis probably...
Okay, see, I'm doing my homework.
Curtis probably influenced by Pops, I don't think.
Okay.
Similar... Real smooth, gentle, you know, haunting sound, you know.
Okay.
Similar.
People get ready, there's a train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealer's horn.
Is there a song that Pops is on with the guitar and a song that Curtis Mayfield is on with the guitar that you can reference to me? Where do I start?
You think of a song. All right, you said another song, Move On Up, like a Kanye West sample, like that.
Okay.
Move on up.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. So what song was that that Kanye did?
What's it called? I don't know. We're talking about.
I hear the tune, but like I can't think of the
touch
song.
The sky.
Was it on like that graduation?
Yeah, it's on graduation.
Yeah, it's on graduation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you think you're a better producer than Kanye?
Whoa. Where did that come from?
You tweeted that one time. It's like,
did I really
like
tweet
this
that?
Was like long ago. I saw you tweet that. I was like, what? You're like, I'm a better producer than Kanye.
He's trying to make somebody mad or something. Isn't that what you're supposed to do on Twitter?
I love Twitter. Just
say some super dumb shit. Mean. It's better if it's mean. If you're like talking shit, like that's what Twitter is all about. That's what I realized that. Like, wait, like I forget. There was some other time I was like talking all kinds of shit, and you know, just was like, oh god, whatever. Nobody reading that shit.
Yeah.
And then like I went back, and it was like 100 people like retweeting it. I'm like, what? Retweeting that dumbass shit? Why? What's wrong with you? Why are you retweeting that? Like,
that's crazy.
Like anything, I could be like, you know, my new album's coming out today. It's you know, like
exactly.
Rolling Stone says it's pure genius. They got Pitchfork gave it a 12,
right.
And no one would look at it.
Right.
They wouldn't even look. No,
I already know.
Every now and then somebody would be like. I'm like, oh, thanks for the like.
Right.
What is that? It's not helping me, man.
Yes.
Likes don't mean shit.
You know, that's what I be trying to tell my people. Like, I'm like, listen to the podcast. I'm like, my cousin like, well, I thought you just wanted me to like it. So people, and I'm like, that's not what it's about. Like, it's for you to actually like it.
Like, meaning,
like, and be interested.
Listen
in it.
To it.
Yes. So I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's funny. So funny with Twitter.
Oh my god, the whole thing. Yeah, Twitter is hilarious.
It really is.
I look at it all the time. I do. I don't. I never talk shit anymore. I gave up talking shit. I mean, as soon as I said that, I'm like, damn, I know. Like every now, like every few years.
Yeah.
I might just go on like one rant on somebody just catches it just for like a couple hours.
Yes.
And then I'm like, delete. I never said that. What are you talking about? Speaking of which, I never said that shit about Kanye. I know what you're
talking about.
Never said that.
Sometimes you gotta bag the boss up. I call that taking Corey gambles. Find yourself up in the food court. You might have to enjoy a sample. All these thoughts on Chris and Mingle. Almost what got Tristan single.
I do miss the old Kanye.
I do too. You know, after
one of them, at least one of the old Kanye's.
Right.
You know,
which one?
You know, I don't even. I just love the College Dropout Kanye personally. I mean, that's the.
You got a favorite
tune? Kanye. I know.
You got a favorite tune?
I love Spaceship on there. That's what I love Spaceship.
So that'll be your number one?
I think. Yeah, fuck it. I like the one. I also like the one with Mos Def and Freeway.
You know, my tune. What's the last tune? The Last Call. That's my joint. I love that song.
I forget how that one goes.
That's my number one on there. It's like a bunch of, he's telling the story about him leaving Chicago.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of.
And going to Newark.
Right.
Like
accident and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think that's a great
record, man. That's just a great album. Yeah. I always, Spaceship, man, that's blues. That's like, you know.
Spaceship, yeah, up there too.
That's a totally different.
Yes.
It's kind of its own thing on
it
that
is.
Record. You know,
it is.
Something about that. I always like that.
We're going to run that.
Yeah. That's
okay.
That's still my favorite kind.
I won't fly. I said I want my chariot to pick me up and take it, brother, for a ride.
Thank you, God. I always got to thank God for these gifts. Like, this is amazing. I got some little on the show.
When my heart aches, I'm drowning. Pain won't go away. And in my cups, brown fills my brain. Won't go away. These five yellow girls out on parade, asphyxiate. Still stuck in a cage, trying to ply my trade. Won't go away. And I'm afraid your love will blow me away. Am I dumb? Oh, cause I numb the pain. Am I just another runaway?
Your love will blow me away. Like I said, that's a song that put me on to you. So what does that song mean to you?
It's a good question. I mean, it's kind of like, I think, like a lot of songs, it's like maybe catharsis, that's the word, right? You know, it's like shedding, that's just like skin that I shed, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, like, that's how I kind of look at it. Like, that's me, like, just doing, you know, a certain time of my life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it means a lot for me to play it, you know?
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's like, that's what it feels like. Like, that's like a...
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, a skin that I shed.
Talk about the sound.
I think of that moment, what I was looking for was something that kind of like, crept along, you know, swung along, you know.
Yeah.
That's just the mood that I was feeling.
Okay.
But it's not like fast. It's not too slow. It's just kind of like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you were walking slow.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what it is to me. Which is, when I think about it, there's a lot. That video has a lot of me walking.
Mm-hmm. Your videos just in general has a lot of meaning to them. And I like to call myself simple-minded. I'm just simple-minded. Like, I got common sense, but I'm simple-minded. Like, just give it to me straight and direct.
Am I down? Oh, cause I know I'm the pain. I'm afraid your love will blow me away. Am I down? Pain, ever just another runaway. Runaway.
Your background. I know that you were born in California, right?
No,
and then you
moved.
You say Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Los Angeles. And then you moved to the East Coast. What part of the East Coast?
Jamaica, Queens, New York.
Jamaica, Queens. Okay, wow. Interesting. I've only heard of that on Belly. Ever. Never been there, never heard of than that. But
yeah,
coast to coast. Mm.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they have, you know, somewhat, you know, a unique experience in that we went back and forth between East Coast and the West Coast a lot when I was a kid. So, you know, I think back then the difference between the two was a little more pronounced than it is now. The culture was a little more, you know, insulated. We didn't have the same crosstalk. So,
okay.
You know, I will roll back into school in the fall after, you know, taking the summer out here. You know, I've been rocking Chuck Taylors and surfer clothes and stuff, and listening to NWA.
That's what I wanted to know, what you was listening to.
Yeah, and well, you know, I was lucky enough to have, I had a music education school, you know.
Okay.
A little bit of background, because my dad had a clarinet and a horn, a tenor saxophone.
Okay.
In the house, so.
Perfect.
I picked those up, but I had a good experience in school. You know, by the time I got into the upper grades, we had moved to suburbs in Jersey. The school district I was in had like the best music, like arts programs, and got in there and You know, so that, I think that did give me like a good background, even though I can't say that I was the best student, you know, but
but you took something from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's part of how I learned how to approach playing at all, you know. But, you know, my drive has always been more about songwriting, and I never felt like there was a whole lot you could learn about that in a classroom. But, you know, I know people do that, but
for real,
I just always felt like
it should be experience.
If it's about me writing a song, then be writing a song.
Right. Your music definitely has to have a meaning.
Yeah, I've got to go. You're probably not going to find it at school.
right, yeah.
Or so, maybe you will. I don't know. I don't want to negate anybody else's experience.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think.
List all of the instruments that you can play.
All right, this might take a while.
Yes, okay. I love it.
I mean, I can play the guitar, I can play the bass, I can play the drums, I can play the piano, I can play the clarinet, I can play the saxophone. I mean, you have to do all the saxophones. I mean, they're all the same, so it doesn't matter. Play any of those. I can play a banjo, you know, I can play a mandolin, I can play not very good at the mandolin, though. I definitely struggle with that. Yeah, I can't really play a trumpet. That's for,
Okay, but you can play the horn. You can play
I can play a wind, but I can't play the flute. I can't play that either. Struggled. I tried to play the flute.
Yeah. So all
it's
of what
not,
you named,
it's not happening.
You put in your music.
I've used all those things before.
Do I hear horns?
I haven't used them on anything, and you know, I used to, and it's been a long time since I have.
That would be interesting.
Keep saying that I'm going to do it, and then I forget to do it, but
that would be interesting. Yeah, that would be really interesting. Okay, any other ones?
I mean, I could pluck a cello. I could play a double bass. Okay. A little bit. And, you know, my percussion instruments, play a lot of those, you know, but various.
Yeah. Indeed. Okay.
You know, a xylophone, a vibraphone, you know.
What about
an accordion?
Yes.
You know, a little bit. I can figure something out. I mean, you can bring me a little penny whistle or a kazoo. I'm really good at kazoo. I mean, that's like.
What about harmonica?
Harmonica, you know, I mean, I could make it sound like something, I guess, but.
Okay.
I ain't good at it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the thing for me is that it only takes something. You just have to have an idea. Like, if you don't have an idea, then it doesn't matter. You know,
right.
Like, to me, if you can't, like, you can play anything, but if you can't, if I didn't have an idea, then I wouldn't even want to do it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
But with that said, it's like, even an instrument that you're not really, might not be trained in, you know, you can find a way to like participate.
Got it.
With it, you know.
And is that because it's music theory, like the theory of it all? Because you know.
No,
that?
I mean, I think it's not about. I don't think it's about that at all. It's almost it's the opposite of that.
Like, oh, I see what you're saying.
Never mind theory. It's just playing something.
How you feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
play something.
Soul music.
Or make something like from the heart. You know. Then
yes.
Like, you know, no one's. And I was sitting there, hopefully, being like, well, I don't think you're playing that right. You know?
Right. Like
I mean, you know, we listen to music that way. It makes listening to music very unenjoyable, you know. I know that some people, I think, when they have a certain amount of training, like, you can't turn it off and you can't not think about that stuff. I mean, I go to shows, I do end up thinking about, like, man, I wish he was a little closer to the mic. That's the only thing. Like, they sound really good. I wish he was a little closer to the mic. And this is, you know, this guitar player is way too loud. You know, I don't want to think like that, but that's what happens. You know,
yeah,
it makes it difficult to enjoy that experience the way that other people do, and the way that, you know, like the way that I used to enjoy it. You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
Some of that is gone, you know, and it just happens because you've been on the other side of it so much, and you need to know these things in order to like do your job.
Right.
So it is like you go to someone else's show and it's kind of like you're at work. It'd be like going to work.
Yeah.
It'd be like, you know, it's like you work in this office and then you go home and like somebody's like, you know, you want to come like watch me work? Like, all right. And then you go to like their office building and just be like hanging out. At the water cooler. Shit. Yeah. So did you watch Oscars, man? Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, do you work here? No, I'm just, it's my friend. I'm just kidding, just watch my friend.
That's so funny.
You wouldn't do that. No one would do that.
Right.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Dang. And it's interesting to get your side of it and how it actually feels.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
They call me Drac. Here I come, baby. I ain't gonna bite you. I just want you to hang on. All right. Standing like an empire to me.
Yeah, I'm calling me. Won't you come away? Don't worry, baby, everything's okay. You can run the game if you don't know my name. Yeah. I'll take you
where you never been before. Hey! Cheers. Aloha.
Aloha.
Pain all the time. Let me see what I can prescribe. Wanna come and get right? Well, the pleasure's all mine. Hey, beautiful lady, got me pulling down the nightshades. So heavily sedated as the night fades, the day she's coming. Suddenly everything ambrosia, color it green for the memories. Give me your love and belladonna. Get on myself, I need some sugar, please.
We celebrating Sun Little as a musician. We're celebrating the new. This is the third studio album.
It is.
So we're celebrating Aloha.
First one done in studio.
For real?
No, I mean, yeah, just
like in an actual studio.
In a real studio, yeah. I've been just, you know, ripping and running, I guess is the way to put it.
Yeah, so you had some time to go and do it.
But yeah, I guess I just made time.
Aloha just released on the 31st, January 31st. And I really live with it. So I felt like the vibe that I got is like, this is strictly for the sisters. Like, that's the vibe I got from it. So the songs that I noted is Mahalia, Baby.
Yeah, that was well done.
And Belladonna. Uh-huh. Those were mm-hmm. some highlights. I mean, Ride, you know. Honorable mention would be what is it? That's the way. My absolute favorite is it really baby or is baby? Like, do you have to say it that way?
No, you don't have. I mean,
I feel like there's B, so we have to say it.
You don't want that. No, you don't have. You know, it's funny. You're not the only person that thinks that way too. Yeah, that's why I kind of love it. That kind of stuff makes me laugh because I'm like, why don't you just say baby?
Right, I know.
You can just say baby.
I know.
What it actually says.
It's the emphasis, though. It matters.
Yeah. She cracked me up because people are like, do you want to play? I'm like, just
baby.
Like, what are you gonna say? Just say baby, man.
That's hilarious.
You don't have to say bubble baby every time. You know, I feel like do it once.
Right,
and now
right.
You've done it. Okay.
Right.
Get it? All right.
It's the principle, man.
I know.
I'm just playing. But that's my favorite, that. Though. That's my favorite. That. Like, the tone of your voice, like, I just love that.
I'm feeling hot now, darling. I got my guard down, baby. Getting dark is for the dawn. Baby, I remember.
You stay up with current music?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes I think I am, and then I realize I'm really not.
So what's your most recent? Like, what you listen to that's current?
That's
like,
what I was just thinking about that. I try real hard, like for short spans of time.
I'm in the same
and
boat.
And then it just falls off. And then people are like, so well, you like the new stuff, right? I'm like, yeah. What's the good new stuff? I'm like, I don't know, Kodak Black or something? Cheap Thief? I don't know.
That's the new stuff?
I'm joking. I've been listening to The Baby. I'm listening to The Baby. That's okay. All I do. I listen to The Baby all the time.
Okay, I dig The Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Speaking of Twitter, I mean, DaBaby's on Twitter. He sounds like some kind of like philosopher or something on Twitter.
Right.
You
see I've been seeing that. Like, God is the greatest. I'm like, that's what he says.
You know what? I'll follow that guy anywhere, man. DaBaby. Yeah. I like that.
Okay, I dig the baby. Popstar is one of the songs, and Kevin Gates is on that. You ever gotten to Kevin Gates?
Taking a trip to Mexico, I'm coming right back in town. I sell a lot of Betty Cobin, trying to slow it down. It's taking a 4, I put a 2 on that, and then I make it bounce. I took a 36 to 108 and weigh up every ounce. I'm a plug, working a drug hub out in H-Town. Hey, what up? You my little love bug, you with Gates now. Penetrate while I grip a waist, push a face down. Concentrate, boom, it's that bass making great sounds. Got a graveyard up under my belt, more murders than New Mexico. Third round extension, mini glizzy, and I'm serving more. I'm wrecking the cartel, I got control in this bitch. I'll still a book you for a show and get you showed in this bitch.
You know what? I think I tried to get in Kevin Gates a couple times and not let it.
It didn't catch you.
I think I liked it, but it didn't
stick.
It didn't stick for some reason.
Okay, I got some Kevin Gates that could stick. That raw.
I believe it. I remember putting it on a few different times.
Yeah.
And I let it play, you know, which is, that's a lot, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
If I actually let it play.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, like, well, let me check this out.
Yeah.
Let a couple songs go, and then, all right, enough of that.
Right.
I tried. Or you just, next.
I tried. And I do that with a lot of music, too. Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's good to do that, too, though, I think.
Yeah.
And people say.
I try to stay in and out of it.
People say, you know, well, at least, especially in my particular, I listen to the things that you don't like, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. About Anti Records. So Anti Records, is it based in L.A.?
Yeah, they're here in
L.A.
Yep.
Okay. And so how did you make the decision that they were like family, they were, that's where you wanted to be as far as a record label?
I'd heard of them a long time ago. You know, it's the kind of place that I, you know, I had pictured myself in a place like that.
But, okay.
And I connected with the people there when I met them, mm-hmm. You know. Vibe was there. I mean, I kind of knew the guy for a while.
Okay.
Before he actually did anything, but yeah, I don't know. It's been good. I think it's a place that, you know, values people that do mm-hmm. things their own way.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, that's ideal.
Yeah, and there's not that many. There's not that many of those.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yeah, I was very lucky to encounter them.
Yeah, and so, excuse me, you connected with Mavis through Anti?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Same guy, my guy, Andy Calkin there, picks all these knuckleheads to be on the labels. It's really uncanny. It's a lot of really strong-willed individuals.
I can dig that. I can dig that.
Yeah, you know, sort of singular people.
Okay, so since we're talking about Anti and the relationships that you've built with people over there, I want to talk about Mavis Staples, because we grew up, you know, listening to the Staple Singers. Mm-hmm. Let's Do It Again. That's like one of my, like, yes. Like, that's probably a few of my playlists.
And you know who produced that?
Who?
Curtis Mayfield.
Dang. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Knowledge. Knowledge. Yes.
Well, Mavis was, for a while, she, all, like, all her stuff was produced by Curtis, and she, I think, she was either about to or signed to his label.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Dang, that's fine. So, and then it just didn't work out?
I think they maybe only did one, that might have been the only record that they actually did.
Okay.
While she was there, but, yeah, again, Chicago, that's.
Okay,
yeah.
And so they all from Chicago.
Yeah, she grew up there. Anyway, yeah, and Curtis, yeah, definitely. But see, her dad, yeah, so her dad is from Mississippi. And I wish I could remember the name of that place. But, yeah, I mean, which is what's so crazy about, you know, being around her in particular. It's,
right.
It's like where her dad's from, you know, that's where blues player like Charlie Patton is okay. from there. You know, Muddy Waters and those mm-hmm. people are from right around there. You know, so she's really close to that, you know, main branch of the tree, you know.
Right, yeah.
That is all our music, you know, in this country. You mm-hmm. know. So yeah, it's mind blowing. It was a mind-blowing experience being around her.
Your most favorable memory of working with her?
I mean, the thing that sticks out for me is that, you know, I sang or I stood with her in the vocal booth while she was doing her vocals, and tiny little woman, I was standing there holding her hand. She grew up singing with her family, you know, so they were close together all the time.
Yeah.
So I think she likes, you know, to have somebody nearby. But we could see the guys in the control room, and there was some part of one of the songs she sang, and when she hit the first note, I jumped a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think I got off the ground for a second, you know, because it was like so loud and powerful.
Yeah.
Just, I jumped, and while I was looking in the control room, I saw everybody else in there jump too.
Yeah.
Like they kind of like flinched a little bit, right. Like everyone at the same time was like,
yeah.
You know.
Everybody reacted.
Yeah, to the same thing, and it's hard to say what it was. It wasn't even like, it's not like it was a super high note or a super low note, or it was nothing like that. It was just like something about the way she said it, you know, that everybody moved at the same time. It was amazing, you know. But like, just to see the power of somebody's voice like that, you know, we were probably working on those vocals for just a couple hours, you know. But like, wow, what a valuable couple of hours that was,
right.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, it's like you were saying, well, it's like you're learning, but one thing about that is I'm like, you can't learn that. I mean, there's some things right. You can learn, and that is not one of them. It's not, yeah. You know, you can practice,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can practice.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't learn that.
Right.
You can't teach that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't teach how to make people jump.
Right, right. When you sing, it just happens.
You know, or like whatever it is, you know. But I think everybody has their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But with her, it's like this, you know, the power, the voice is like, Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Yeah. You know? But what song are you talking about?
You know, I don't even know which song it was. When I think about it, I don't even know. It wasn't even like that. I mean, and actually, that was very much in the beginning of this session. So, as the thing went on, you know, there's a lot more moments like that. And I kind of realized, you know, I'm like, wow, she just does this, like, on the regular. You know, like, it's just, like, that's how this is. Like, if you're around her, like, every now and then you get, like, a jolt.
Yeah.
Of energy. It's amazing. Like, it really is some kind of, like, almost, like, supernatural thing. Like, it's not like if, it's when, you know?
Right, right.
Like, whoa. what did you just do?
Right.
You know, like, what was that?
Yeah.
And she just goes right on, you know?
Yeah.
You see her, she just goes right on singing, like.
Yeah.
It's a powerful lady. That's a powerful lady.
That's amazing. That's amazing to hear. So that's your most memorable moment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But again, it's like that. That was just the first of many, you know, because I've heard her since then. I've been on stage with her. And yeah, there's just every now and then there's just something you're like, what? What did she just do?
Yeah.
Like, look, people are really looking at each other like, what? What? What just happened?
Yeah.
What? How did she do that?
I missed the Mavis and Friends show. I missed that.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
That was a lot of fun.
Dang.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was great to be able to do that, see her with all those different people and all the people that came out.
Yeah.
You know.
That's amazing.
She had Joni Mitchell was she had Joni Mitchell there. Yeah, she didn't sing anything, but she was there. Yeah,
I can take that.
Talk about a poet. There's one right there.
Yeah,
I'd almost see. Here's me, my mind thinking. I'm like, I like to see Joni Mitchell write something for me.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay, so I gotta dig on Joni Mitchell too.
Yeah, you gotta get in there too.
Okay.
If you like poets.
Okay. I told you my thing with poets. If the music sound good, I can dig it. Mm-hmm. But if I gotta think too hard, it might be a little bit difficult.
Joni Mitchell's not easy, I'll say that. It's probably something that you'll really dig though.
Okay. But I'm up for the challenge though, regardless. So I'm gonna dig it.
It's worth a shot.
Your Good Fortune, the Mavis Staples EP that y'all did together. I love that. My favorite tune on there is Fight. Because it has that everything drop, like the music drop, but then it has like this bass. But you don't know if you like do the little dip like you in church, like the church thing is like going hard, or you don't know if like you want to clap your cheeks or something, you know? Like, I'm like, this is a Mavis Staples tune. Like, yes.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, I mean, her daddy's from Mississippi, and he was around. If you listen to them, that's the thing. I never really thought about this until I did that project because, you know, I started reading about her and him and their family. You know, she had a book, actually, I don't know, a few years ago, and I looked through that, and, you know, her dad was like, you know, he played guitar and they came out playing gospel, of course, which, you know, generally like it's all on piano or on organ, you know, like Aretha, you know. But Mavis's environment there musically was with her dad playing guitar, not piano. Guitar is more, you know, and at that time, as always, you know, it was like thought it was more of a blues instrument. Yep. So gospel people didn't really like that, you know, like gospel people wanted, well, they had guitar, you know, you're playing the blues in there, which they thought it was sinful, devilish music.
And, this is, you know, news this, to me. I didn't know that.
You know, that's the music that they're playing late at night out somewhere, you know. You know, and then Sunday morning they're gonna shuffle in the church and you're on the organ, but everybody's sweating the whiskey out from last night. And they're up. Don't know, they still wearing the same thing they had on last night at church. You know? trying to act like we weren't just hanging out.
Right.
Good morning. and I think he was a believer, you know, he's a religious guy, but I think too that they would play those shows and, you know, those guys would be down the hall, you know, in the hotel room cutting up, playing cards and drinking and,
yeah,
and who knows what.
Right. Right. Know?
So I think it made sense that contrast of those two things, you know, he's comfortable there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, their family is very interesting, the music is very interesting that way.
Yeah. I want to talk about your concerts, your live shows. Because one show that I saw here in L.A., you played The River. After you played that song, man, like, if this like the end of my life, like my world, like, I'm like, I'm good. I'm in pure bliss right now. Like, oh, that cool. Performance was that good. Like, it was just amazing. Like, the energy was like super up. Like, it was just everything. And then it made me go back and listen to The River, because I never really, like, I heard it, but I didn't hear it to that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Until I heard like it live. How do you keep the spark in it, or how do you keep it fun?
Well, just trying to change things as often as, you know, just not getting stuck on one way of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Like a million ways you can play anything.
Right.
So, you know, just trying to keep finding new ways of doing new ways of doing the same old thing.
You like touring?
Yeah, I mean, it's great in its own way. I mean, I like not touring too.
Mm-hmm. I imagine, yeah.
It's exciting when you have something new to say with it, or a new approach to it. You know, there's a certain unknown.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen if we do it like this?
Right. Yeah.
What's going to happen if I play it solo or with an orchestra, which has never happened, but, you know.
Okay, so these are some songs that I want to highlight from the Abandoned Lullaby album, Iceberg with RJD2. And this is Sun Little. At the time, he was going by Aaron Livingston. The songs that I want to, this is 2011, which that don't really matter because it's timeless music. But my favorites on there is Wander, The Return of Tronson, Gun for Hire, I'm Green, and Please Don't. So tune into those songs. Did they have a hand in the album, or just were thanking them generally?
Yeah, just generally. Yeah.
Just generally, yeah. Okay, talk about their role in your journey.
It's really just that whole, it's the whole community there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Philly's another thing that I think doesn't get all the credit it deserves. But
okay.
Yeah, just like that place, Philly is just, the community has like a, it's really competitive and also, you know, there's a certain air of positivity about it, I think, that makes it a good place for people, you know, finding their voice and trying to make their way in music. It's not that, like, flashy, you know, not that flashy New York. It's like, got a real, like, you know, working man's approach, to music and,
get on that.
You know, the Roots were kind of the center of the community that I found myself in, the circles that I ran in, sort of were in their orbit one way or another. And so they were, you know, something for somebody like me to kind of look up to and learn from.
Yeah. Oh, when you was talking about Philly, so Frankie Beverly and Maze, did you ever kind of go down that road?
I certainly listened to them. I think, yeah, some of that stuff is in there too, you know.
Okay.
I like the Philly soul, and I sort of was onto it before I before I ever was there, you know. So yeah, I've had my little my fucking bedroom maid's face.
Okay. I can appreciate that. It's probably right on the lyrics online, but I just gotta clarify. All right, so do you say in Mad About You, real wild about you, or red wine about
red
you?
Red wine about you. Some people don't.
I looked it up, but yeah, I still kept saying he's saying red wine. Like he's saying red wine.
Was it wrong? Is it wrong on the?
On Rap Genius. On Genius. So I'm going to fix it. That's look. Interesting. Yeah.
I think it's funny when they're wrong.
Help me get my IQ up.
Okay. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Got a smile about you. Some red wine about you. In the evening hazy. In a summer dress you slay me. One smile you got me. Pop, gin, pop, acting sloppy. Mad about you. Break my heart at the first sight, leaving me lost in the morning light. I'm mad about you. Breaking my heart at the first sight, leaving me lost.
Anything else you want to share about Aloha?
I think most of what I know about it is out there, you know. I mean, I'm still reflecting on it. I'm sure, like, the next time that you see me, I'll have a totally different perspective on it. But yeah, you know, I'm just happy it's out in the world and
mm-hmm.
living and breathing. And
yeah,
people getting to live with it like you did. So
yeah.
You know, I'm interested to see how people feel
mm-hmm.
about it.
It's amazing.
You know, the next year or two.
Yeah, down the line.
Mm-hmm.
It don't age. I mean, it's real timeless music. Mm-hmm. All of your music is just real timeless music. Like, you could listen. It could have came out long ago. You know, it's like I put it in the same category as, like, the Mavises and mm-hmm. the Curtis Mayfields and, mm-hmm. you know. Like, it's timeless music, like comfort music, you know, because you go to that stuff for comfort, you know, like when you listen to the music, you know, of today, you know, obviously the material is totally different.
Mm.
But when you hear something that's of that comfort of what used to be, I mean, it's not for everybody, but if that's your thing,
yeah.
Timeless music, timeless soul music. Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
So long, I've been needing your love. Hear me, please. Love, my heart is beating.
Take me back where I belong.
I know folks are saying from you. I've been straight.
Okay, dig it. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thanks.
And spending time with me. It's like, wrap this shit up, Chad. Like, we gotta go. I agree too, but I appreciate you coming through, man.
No, thank you.
Definitely. What you got next? Like, what's up next for you? I know you have a run that's
coming
up.
So I got the show with Mavis on Thursday.
On this Thursday, okay. And, I think I peeped that somewhere.
Northridge, up Northridge, the radio station. I'm gonna mess up the call letters if I try to say it.
Yeah.
But I got that show, and then four other ones up further north in California.
Okay. Yeah.
Going on Santa Cruz and Sweetwater, which is like just like outside Oakland.
Mhm. Okay.
Morro Bay.
Okay.
So we're just some slightly out of the way spots,
yeah,
but in Cali.
Pockets.
I got a couple, I guess they're like folk festivals in Canada that I'm doing.
Mm.
And a couple shows in Colorado. So, I mean, you know, I'm going to Europe at the end of March, so we're out in the woods. We're out on the move. Playing the music, bringing the new record to the stage.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like I said, keeping it going. So, you know, I had a different band this past run. I did one on the East Coast. I had a trio, drums, keys, and myself. And
okay.
This time, I added some bass to that too for these shows coming up. So, you know, just trying to keep myself on my toes. You know. Try to stay, you know, I gotta stay two steps ahead.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Follow us on all social media. We're on Twitter at Virtuous Optimist, no T. Instagram, Virtuous Optimist Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Virtuous Optimist Podcast. You can find us on Apple Music at Virtuous Optimist or Chantanza, which is spelled Channanza. You can also find playlists on Spotify. For each episode of Virtuous Optimist Podcast, I create a playlist of the tune samples, is what I call it. It's all of the samples of music that I used on the podcast episode. All of them will be on a playlist on both Apple Music and Spotify. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. We're no longer distributing through SoundCloud, so a lot of the episodes aren't on there anymore. But we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and also Anchor. That's our new distributor. The newest addition to Virtuous Optimist platform is the Virtuous Optimist Outlet Store. The old outlet stores. I started to sell my wardrobe of clothes on Depop and through Instagram. And through that, I've raised a lot of money. Well, not a lot of money, but a good amount of funds to be able to make my platform official and to be able to offer goods to my loved ones, whether that be through women's wear, men's wear, Virtuous Optimist Podcast, merchandise, all of that stuff. We're going to have all of that. Right now, we only have women's wear, but Virtuous Optimist Podcast merchandise is coming really soon. So if you want to tune into the Virtuous Optimist Outlet Store, like I said, it's VO Outlet Store on Instagram. If you want to shop my Depop, it's all the same thing, Virtuous Optimist Outlet Store. My username on Depop is Chantanza. Again, that's spelled Channanza. Go shop, go subscribe, all of that stuff. Thank you. All love. Next up on Virtuous Optimist Podcast. So I want to welcome to Virtuous Optimist Podcast, Doc Holliday, vocal coach.
Yo, what's up, y'all? I'm glad to be here. I'm excited.
I'm so glad to have you here.
It's my pleasure.
Man. And just briefly, I want to talk about how we met.